Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser here with you. Our show is presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Appreciate Matt Duchesne for joining us as the Preds are back in action tonight. But getting back into the Titans, the big splash moves that should be made, or should they go into rebuild? That is the big question that we're going to be asking for a while, Michelle, until we start to see what they're going to do. Obviously, step one is you got to hire a general manager. They have begun that process. We've seen the name, you know, some of the names that are out there, including Ryan Cowden and Monty Austinfort, that are internal. I saw that the Browns are interviewing Jim Schwartz for their defensive coordinator position. Mm-hmm. Schwartz, of course, has been here, was the longtime defensive coordinator, and then left for the Detroit Lions as the head coach and came back as a senior defensive assistant. I would expect him to probably get a DC job. I mean, he's a well-known defensive coordinator, has had a lot of success over the years, so we'll see there. But you got to hire a GM. And then the GM and Vrabel have to sit down with Amy, and they got to come up with what the plan is. I believe the plan is going to be you run it back with Tannehill. You heard Tim Hasselbeck say you run it back with Tannehill and Henry. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are a lot of differing opinions on this. And, you know, I heard David Beauclair, longtime Nashville journalist, on with Robbie and Rexford this morning. Here's what he said he would do.
No, I feel like, I feel like it's, to use a poker analogy, if you're playing Texas Hold'em, right, you're down to the river and you're still chasing the flush, right? The chances of you getting the flush now are pretty slim. You know, this group made its run in 2019, had two good seasons behind it, but, you know, has gotten kind of farther away each year from getting to the Super Bowl and doing anything like that. I think it's time to make some wholesale changes. I think you cut Taylor Lewan. I think you cut Ryan Tannehill. You probably cut Bud Dupree, and you know, you free up as much salary cap money as you can, and you go at this thing with a different approach. I mean, you've got a tremendous defensive line with Jeffrey Simmons, Pierre Tart, Denico Autry, and so on. That, you know, you've got a great back end in Kevin Byard. So I think that's a pretty good place to start. Of course, Derrick Henry has a little tread left on the tires. I mean, you know, he's not going to be the focus of the offense for the next 5 years, but I think he can sort of ease the transition into whatever comes next. And particularly if you can rebuild that offensive line quickly. So, that's the way I'd be going about it if I was the guy who got the general manager job. But I haven't been asked to interview yet.
That's David Beauclair. And, you know, David, I hope you do.
I haven't been asked to interview yet either. So
no,
it's okay,
no.
David.
I have. It's the same.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I should probably let our bosses know that. But no, just kidding.
Conflict of interest.
Anyway, that would be along the lines of like being a college head coach, you know, go be a GM, screw it up and get paid, you know, to do nothing.
And have fans scream at you.
One thing that comes up and or has come up with this is, you know, we're talking about trading for DeAndre Hopkins and upgrading the receiver position. And then people go, well, does that mean you're moving on from Henry? Why does upgrading the receiver room and wanting to add more of a passing game mean you have to move on from Henry?
Because people think, oh, you're changing the offense, but the offense that people want is surrounded by the Joe Burrows, by the Josh Allens, by the Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
You don't have that here.
No, you don't.
And just because you're getting a receiver like that does not mean everything will be changed.
But if you – Mike Vrabel said it best last year. You have to be great around Ryan Tannehill. If you put great pieces around him, then, you know, see where he can take you. Do I think he – at this point, I don't think he can win him a Super Bowl. But – if you're going to run it back with him and then you're going to start to look ahead of what's next and try and find, you know, either this year or next year, the quarterback of the future in the draft, because I don't think you have it in Malik Willis, then okay. But if you upgrade the receivers and you keep Henry, that I think that's okay. You still have to have a run game.
Yeah.
You just don't have to make it the focal point of your offense. I think that even though he had 1,500 yards this year, we have seen that
second
he doesn't need to be the focal point of the offense anymore. He can still be a big part of it, but he's not the catalyst anymore. And that's okay. That doesn't mean, you know, I think too much we get into this mindset of, oh no, he's broken. You gotta get rid of him. He's a shell of his former self. He still had 1,500 yards.
He still was 115
coming
yards
off
away
a big injury
from being the leading rusher this season, just behind Josh Jacobs. So
yeah.
Only 115 yards. Also didn't play Week 17. So let's not forget that. So for everybody saying, you know, he's lost his step, he doesn't seem as explosive, he still gave you a top level of production this year and gave you an offense. So Chase, to your point, you know, if you add a wide receiver, it's just opening what you can do. I mean, you had AJ Brown for a couple of years, just adding somebody who could be another offensive threat, which you didn't have on this offense this year. Treylon Burks sometimes, but you didn't have this year, where maybe not an entire defense has to tackle Derrick Henry because they know you're going to do that on every first and 10.
I think it would be great to have an offense that is so unpredictable that it's hard to defend against. Henry going to run it? Is Burks going to catch it? Is Hopkins going to catch it? Is Chigakonkwo going to catch it? I mean, is Tannehill going to keep
it? That's what you want. That's what you want in an offense. And just because the Tennessee Titans may decide to stay with Derrick Henry doesn't mean he's going to be their only offensive weapon. I mean, you have to go out and make moves to get other ones. But, I mean, I think the mindset, I don't know if it's the mindset in fans or just seeing that, oh, this is just a run team. This is a run team. They're going to run him into the ground. But maybe you use him less and less on the back end of his career and just start to open the offense and change that a bit.
Yeah, here's an idea for the new offensive coordinator. Just a thought. Maybe don't run him into the ground in the first half. And, oh, I don't know, on third and short, keep him on the field and use him that way. I mean, use him in spots where you know he's at his best. And if you're not just overloading him anymore, then I think you'll see with the things we're talking about, offensive line, receivers, this offense will be okay. I mean, again, Tannehill's not the franchise guy. I get it. But he's not awful.
But he also did help the Titans become relevant.
Sure.
Let's also not forget about that.
Sure. And like we said earlier, if he's healthy, they probably are in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would bet a lot of money that they'd be in the playoffs.
I don't know what they do with it, but they probably are in. So, you know, I mean, because I think it was very, very clear that the first time he got hurt, and then when he came back, he was still hurt. He was playing through it. I mean, he was not mobile
at
all.
Oh, I mean, in the locker room on locker cleanout day this week, somebody asked him and said, I think it was actually Rex Road who asked him, how hurt were you in that Chargers game? And he was like, yeah, I was in a lot of pain. And then told us that, and he didn't have a decision on whether he had to get that surgery or not. He had about three ligaments torn, broken, I don't know the correct terminology, I'm not a doctor, but in his ankle. So, I mean, he was pretty beaten up.
Yeah, and I think he played through it the best that he could. It goes back to, and you'll hear me reference this a lot on the show, Michelle, Barry Trotz used to always say, are they hurt or are they injured?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big difference in the two. And I think it got to the point where Tannehill was injured. And it ended his season. So,
well, it's the difference between these big injuries and the soft tissue injuries, what we've seen. And Vrabel even mentioned that. Is it a blister or a callus? And players knowing which injuries you play through because you're going to get hurt in this league and knowing which injuries are not able to push through. And I think Ryan Tannehill pushed through that ankle injury clearly a little too much, like we saw in L.A.
Yeah. Coming up next, we'll continue this discussion on whether you run it back and you go for the big splash. We want your calls and your texts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And we also asked the question, if you go rebuild, do you have the time to do it? Tim Hasselbeck had comments on that. You'll hear from him next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday, discussing the Titans, 615-737-1025. Whether you run it back and go for the splash move, which is kind of where I'm leaning, because rebuilds don't work in many, many cases. Or do you go full-scale rebuild? There's a lot of mixed reviews on that. I heard Tim Hasselbeck yesterday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Thought it was interesting when they asked him the question of what he would do and if he would rebuild, and his answer really, really stood out to me.
Yeah, I don't think you have time to tear it all down and rebuild it. You know, as I listen to him talk, while people think that, if you tear it down, all you are doing is getting it ready for the next coach and the next GM. That's all you are doing. So I think that, you know, the team I think I would look at and say, like, all right, well, like, how have they handled some of these situations would be the Minnesota Vikings. Like, the Vikings fired their head coach. They hired a new coach. Like, they were in a situation where I think a lot of people thought, well, like, listen, you're getting older at certain spots. You're getting older at pass rusher. You're getting older, you know, in the secondary. You have a quarterback that a lot of people think, like, isn't good enough to go win at all. Like, you know, they've won 12 games this year. I think the idea of just saying, look, we're going to you know, strip it down to the studs and then, you know, rebuild it, I think you end up getting fired if you do that. So I don't think that'll be the plan. Now, there are going to be a lot of changes. Like, obviously, offensive line, I mean, there's some obvious ones with Ben Jones and Taylor Lewan and, you know, guys that have been cornerstones, if you will, along the offensive line. Like, that'll look like that's going to be different. And so I think that, you know, I think you may see a similar thing on the defensive side of the ball, like, you know, where guys have been really good players. Like, what happens with them?
That's Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, Caroline, Willie, and D-May. So I think that is a very interesting comparison, because the Minnesota Vikings, to me, do kind of fit the mold of the Titans, what the Titans want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill are very comparable. Now, I would take Tannehill over Cousins, if I'm just being 100% honest.
So would I.
I think Cousins is overrated.
It helps when you have a Justin Jefferson on your team.
Well, and that's the other part. What do they have that the Titans
An
don't?
Electric wide receiver.
Yeah. They have Jefferson. They have Thielen. I mean, they have multiple options. They traded for Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I think Okonkwo can become more. But they have two go-to receivers in Jefferson, which is a, you know, just a generational talent.
Yeah,
for
sure. He's a superstar.
And then Adam Thielen. And so you have a one and a two for sure. And then a couple of other pieces. Now, the Titans do have this. They have Dalvin Cook. They have a running, you know, they have a good run game.
The Vikings?
The Vikings. Yeah, but the Titans
yes.
have Derrick
they
Henry.
They have Derrick, yes.
And so that's the comparison. And so if you can get that quarterback that's okay and then good run game, which I think, you know, I'd probably still lean Derrick over Dalvin Cook,
mm-hmm.
and then a really good receiver, a really good number two, and then solid tight end play, then we have a different conversation.
Completely.
And I think that – and they have an offensive line. And I think that's where the Titans have to try and get to. Who knows what the Vikings are going to do? I don't think they're going to go very far, but they might. You never know.
But they're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs. They are in the playoffs. They won that division.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never know. So if that – but – you got to do this in steps. To me, that's the next step. Get to be a team similar to that of the Minnesota Vikings.
No, I agree. I think you pointed out, right, they've got those 1-2 receiver punches. I would take Ryan Tannehill over Kirk Cousins. I mean, we saw what when he had A.J. Brown. Think about how different this roster would look if you had A.J. Brown and a healthy Treylon Burks even, right? It's still, I know, a rookie, but we've seen what he can do. He can make plays when he has the ball in his hand. So you go out and you get an electric wide receiver, say you're able to, okay, you re-sign Nate Davis, Ben Jones comes back, Nicholas Petit-Frere has another year under his belt, you get Taylor Lewan to take a pay cut, You got to fill that left guard position. Okay, so that's one spot. You get an electric wide receiver number one, a veteran.
Well,
or
okay.
Treylon be number one.
So that was my next question. Do you think that Treylon can be that?
I think this offseason is going to be huge for him, right? I think he has the athletic ability, the stature. I mean, just looking at the kid, people compared him to AJ. So I think he has...
I think was detrimental to him.
Well, yes. I think he has the intangibles as far as, you know, the build. He's a big guy. He can run. You know, he's good at getting yards after the catch. He's good at getting open. But I think that this rookie season was really hard considering he couldn't stay on the field. But I don't think his injuries that he had necessarily will play into his future because, I mean, he had the turf toe. How do you avoid that? He had the concussion when he got absolutely drilled in the head. Can't really avoid something like that happening. So I think this offseason, if he takes it really seriously, which I brought up the point to you, Vrabel, Todd Downing, and... Yeah, I think those two specifically went out of their way multiple times when he was on IR this season to say, you know, he is doing everything he can to get back on this field. So if he has that work ethic in the off season, I think he can be a number one wide receiver.
And I think that's very, very important for you to point out because, you know, as you know, Vrabel will tip his hand on how he feels about somebody. And early on, I was a little concerned because – I think he questions some of the work ethic, and I think Treylon maybe had more of an adjustment period of going from being the guy at Arkansas to being a guy in the NFL as a rookie, and I think he had to learn how to work a little bit, and I kind of feel like he's done that, and so to your point, I think going through the offseason and working harder than he did last year, and I'm not saying he didn't, but taking it up a notch.
Just having the understanding of what it
takes. Now he knows what to expect.
Mentally, physically, to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, and I think if he does that, then you're going to see him take big steps moving forward. And do I think he's going to be as good as A.J. Brown? Probably not. But do I think that he can be a true, solid number one? Maybe not Justin Jefferson, just, you know, generational talent kind of guy. But if he can be a true solid number one and you can bring in a true solid number two or a 1A or a 1B, I should say, then I'm going to feel a lot better about things with this team moving forward from an offensive standpoint.
Well, I'm just looking at Pro Football Reference. So for the year, he had 33 receptions, 444 yards. 444 yards.
Yards?
Yards. I remember coming into this season saying, if Treylon Burks can have like around 600 yards for the season, I mean, that you have to be feeling pretty, pretty confident about in him. Now, let's also remember, he didn't play a lot this year. So his productivity for the amount of games he played in, 11 games, it's not bad.
It's not.
And there were some games, too. He was on snap counts.
Yeah.
It can be better. And if you can build off that, I think, I mean, you touched on it. I don't know if he'll be an A.J. Brown. And you also said, you know, it was detrimental to his career when people compared him to A.J. Brown. And, of course, people are going to because you trade A.J. and then draft Treylon. Of course people are going to compare them. But, I mean – you also have to look at it. AJ's been in the league, you know, more years than him. He's a rookie coming in. There's no way he's going to be able to do what AJ is doing this year. But do I think that he has the possibility to be maybe not to the level AJ Brown is? I think he could be up there, though.
Yeah. And so going back to Tim's original point, I agree. I don't think they have the time to go full rebuild either. I mean, Willie quoted it yesterday. Floyd used to say, if I'm going to go through a rebuild, then I'm fired. I mean, that's what it's going to – because you're basically doing it for the next guy.
Well, and it's clear that Miss Amy, Adam Shrunk, doesn't want to lose. I mean, it's clear that you don't – nobody wants to go through a losing season.
No.
And if you are rebuilding, that is what you are signing up for.
Yeah. I think you're going to retool. And there's a difference in
a
the two.
A competitive rebuild.
I'm not going to go that far. But retool. And I think that's kind of where they're at. Renovate is what Derek called it. I like that. That's a good way to put it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do, too. You got a little beat-up house right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're gonna be financially responsible and get some good pieces to upgrade it. And you luck out that you're in a bad division. So you could make the playoffs with a 9-10 win season.
Because the other part of this is the injuries. And what do you do to fix some of that? I thought Mike Vrabel had a very interesting response to the injuries with his team the other day in his press conference. We'll discuss that. You'll hear that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle. And again, join us tonight at Nobles, located at 974 Main Street in East Nashville, for a Preds away game watch party as the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at 6:30. Pregame at 5:30. Come watch the game, get some Pred swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Wednesday night specials include 2-for-1 drafts, wells, and wine as well, and Bud Light buckets for $15. So be sure to check that out. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up in about 30 minutes. Chase and Michelle right now with reporter Nick. As well, his nickname that I'm getting to. I want your Twitter account to be that.
Why?
Because you want to be a reporter.
I am.
I mean, that helps you.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Chaser.
You hear that? Get him all defensive. I am a reporter.
I love you,
I
Chase.
Also am a professor.
Thanks for helping.
Sure you are.
I should make my Twitter account Professor Michelle.
I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. That's a whole commercial. Anyway, the Titans, the injuries, and... if they could overcome that, and I look, guys are going to get hurt. It's a tough league. I mean, I think we've learned that more than anything of how dangerous this league can be in the last few weeks. But I thought Mike Vrabel had a really interesting answer when he was asked about this the other day. It's the longest answer he gave of anything, but he was very honest about it. This was Mike Vrabel when asked about the injuries in his team.
You know, we have to address it. We have to at least look at it, and we are, and we have, and we do it every single day. You know, that I meet with Todd, that we meet with Frank, that we're trying to figure out what these injuries are, Gentry, and I know that everybody, you know, has got the answers. I don't know if I have the answers on, you know, the 90% of the injuries occurred in the game, right? Of an ACL or an MCL or a high ankle sprain. I mean, those are hard, you know. We look at soft tissue injuries. We look at those soft tissue injuries of, you know, repeat offenders. You know, I mean, it doesn't take too hard to look and see that, you know, Christian Fulton and David Long are, you know, I mean, they're repeat offenders of soft tissue injuries. They have to figure out a way to train and act like, you know, this is the game is played at a high speed. Kevin Byard hadn't pulled a hamstring since we've been here. You know what I mean? And there's a durability factor to playing professional football that we should not overlook.
That's Mike Vrabel on the injuries. And he kind of went on a little bit longer with that. I thought it was interesting that he named two guys specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what stands out to me. And he was calculated in how he answered that question because he has to be. But there's a couple of context clues that you can take from Mike Vrabel on something that has annoyed him. You know, he said a few weeks ago that it's the, you know, we got to get guys working outside of the 8-4 window. Now he's talking about soft tissue injuries and training and guys,
repeat offenders.
And repeat offenders. Kevin Byard's a prime example. That guy is working 24/7, 365 to be the best safety in the NFL. And guess what? He's been the best safety in the NFL.
And Chase, I remember going into training camp, one of the first days of training camp, Kevin Byard's up at the podium and everybody's looking at him like, okay, he got his haircut, but there's something different about him. And somebody asked him, hey, Kevin, have you lost a little weight or anything? And he detailed out the diet that he went on this summer.
Right.
And how, I mean, that you have to be so mentally tough and determined to be the best ever. I mean, look at some of the stuff we see Derrick Henry doing, and he is committed to this game. He is committing to being the best running back there is. But there was so much out of it, right? We heard the context sure. clues from Mike Vrabel about the outside of the building. And I don't know if you remember earlier this year, but Rashad Weaver posted on social media because he got fined for
yep.
missing a meeting or something like that. And then you look at guys like he's calling out like Kevin Byard in a good way. Hey, knock on wood, this guy's been in the league for how long? And there's a guy who goes above and beyond outside of the building, has a personal chef. I know not everybody can afford that, but eats so incredibly clean, said he wasn't even eating sugar, which, I mean, that is so hard to do, but it's those things that have your body in the absolute tip-top shape that can avoid things like that.
I think here's the interesting part. In working with, you know, you two that are about 10 years younger than I am, you know, it you realize just the difference when it comes to age in kind of thought processes. And you're giving me this look like, where is
it going? I'm laughing right now. Where are you going with this?
Where is he going with this? I do think there is a generational thing of just my definition of extra work and your definition of extra work are probably two different things. And I'm not saying that, you know, to in a mean way. I'm just – I think Mike Vrabel's definition and how he did it as a player of extra work and the rules of the league have changed are very different in that of Christian Fulton, because there's a 20-year gap of when they played the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had to adapt and learn that, okay, it's a different player. And a prime example of that, a story that I just remembered, and I probably could go back and find this clip. About 3 or 4 years ago, Jeff Fisher was in studio with us, with Derek. And Jeff was talking about just how different it is coaching now. And he said, we have to, when I was with the Rams, we had to have cell phone breaks so guys could go check their phones and talk to their girlfriends or wives or,
you
know, check social media. And he goes, I think it's the dumbest thing in the world, but we have to do it because otherwise we just lose them. The attention span is so short. And he and Derek started laughing and told a story of he remembered there was a meeting that they had when they were with the Titans that somebody's phone rang. And I think it was an assistant coach rang in a meeting and Jeff took it and threw it against the wall and broke it. And that's just how different things are that, you know, kids today have to have that time. And I think Vrabel is having a difficult time kind of adapting to that of like, look, you're a National Football League player. There's certain things that you have to do that not everybody else does. And training is a part of it. And it's not fun. But look at Derek. You just used Derek Henry as an example. Kevin mm-hmm. Byard. Those guys don't get hurt. Derek had a freak injury. But most of the time, he doesn't get hurt. You know why? He takes care of his body. He Please. Does the extra work. Trent Dilfer, now the coach at UAB, used to call all of that stuff, whether it's training or in the playbook, the quiet time. The quiet time is when nobody sees you, when you're not on the practice field. Half the time you're not even at the facility. But you're doing that extra work, putting in the quiet time to be the best player you can be. And I think there are some guys that just don't do that, and it drives Vrabel crazy. And that goes – so that contributes to preparation. That mm-hmm. contributes to injuries. You know, we all sit here and go, why are the Titans the most hurt team in the NFL the past 2 years? I'm not saying that that is contributing to all of it, but I certainly believe that it's a factor in it. And Vrabel is now looking at, how do I change that? And the fact that he called two guys out, I love that, because that sends a message not only to those two guys and Christian Fulton and David Long, you know, of, hey, I don't see Kevin Byard pulling hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something about that. It sends a message to everybody in that locker room and everybody that's going to be in that locker room that he's tired of the BS and he's not going to put up with it.
Well, and you said he's kind of left crumbs in each press conference. And as media members and sports talk radio hosts, we pick up on those things. But, you know, Chase, what you mentioned there in generations changing, you think about when Mike Vrabel was a player in the league or even when he was at Ohio State as a college football player. You weren't attached 24/7 to the outside world. You weren't seeing what everybody puts on social media about you. You weren't getting all this attention via social media and being able to connect with millions of people 24/7 right? There are so many other distractions in the world. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse, because this is your job. And at the end of the day, like, you got to go to work like any other person. You go to work and you can't allow, you know, social media or other distractions to affect the way that you come to work. But, you know, when you get into the NFL, you are signing up for, you know, your entire life. It's a, you put your body at risk. I mean, even quick update, actually, DeMar Hamlin, like, seeing you put your body at risk every single day you step out there. But quick update, the Buffalo Bills just said that he is heading home from the hospital this morning. So we are.
And he was at a hospital in Buffalo, right?
Because he moved
back.
So moved back to Buffalo hospital there, checked everything to make sure he was good. He is finally heading home. So just over a week and a half, finally heading home. But, you know, you have to do. You have to have so much focus and determination and willing to put your body to lengths that some people will never experience.
Yeah. It's attention to detail. And like, you two have heard me say that from my day job, that attention to detail is so freaking important. And I think that's what Vrabel is getting at. Like, we have to have better attention to detail. It's the little things. The teeny tiny little things, but if you don't do the little things, it's death by a thousand cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And they all add up. And that's what I think he's trying to change and get that mindset different for his team and his players. Because you take the injuries away, like, outside of the ones that are always going to happen, you know, the ACLs and, you know, those Achilles, those big type injuries. But you take some of those little soft tissue things away that guys just – can't seem to get over. This team looks completely different.
Completely different. And some of the injuries, like we said, you can't avoid those.
It's football. It's going to happen.
Oh, okay. Here's the tweet that I was looking for. Kevin Clark tweeted. It was four pictures. I remember seeing this during the Jags game. That's what I've been looking for when we've been talking this whole time. The thing about Mike Vrabel is he often jumps into drills with his guys to teach technique, to see closer detail. Once told me that it helps him get a better feel of the game. There's tons of this photo where this man looks like an absolute madman. But then the other tweet I was looking for, somebody quoted it and said something along the lines of, at his days when he was in New England, he would stay after and race guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his mentality. He would want to be the absolute best he could be. I mean, Mike Vrabel was a defensive guy. He was a big dude. He wasn't the fastest on the team, but the reporter who quoted
it,
and I need to find it, said he would smoke guys. Yep. And that is his mentality, and he's brought it to coaching. And I'm sure it is frustrating seeing when you know the potential that these guys could have, but they're being limited by these soft tissue injuries because they are not, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity they have to be the best possible.
I mean,
I'm putting that work in.
I think it might have been Byard that even said it, that, you know, Vrabel will put, you know, the chest protector pad on and knock guys over, and it's like I'm running into a wall. I mean, at 47 years old, he still looks like he could suit up and play.
Oh, 100%. And he still would fear people out there.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, that's the mentality that he has. That's the mentality that his team needs to have as well. 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on Vrabel and calling some of his guys out for injuries? I want to hear your response coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up in about 15 minutes. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. Broadcast South Carolina doing this? Like, what we got here? Very good. The Game Studio presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser with you. Caroline Willie and D-Mace will have a great show coming up in a few minutes. But some reaction to what we were just talking about. Mike Vrabel's comments on injuries. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls in just a few minutes on that. But you had a text that you read during the break that really stands out to me. And I have a response.
Matt on the text line says, my point is, if he's making those comments to the media, it's a signal that he's definitely not getting across to his team in the classroom and practice, hence the 7 losses in a row. And those comments being, you know, people need to work outside of the building if you missed last segment, what we were talking about. Chase, your response.
So I think Vrabel is, I don't think, I know, Vrabel is cut from a very similar cloth of Bill Belichick, of Nick Saban, of Bill O'Brien. I mean, those guys that they're old school, but everything they do or say publicly is calculated.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Saban is notorious for when he goes off in a press conference, that's a message to the players. And he's doing it that way because he knows that everybody's going to hear it and it's going to have a bigger reach and a bigger impact on his players. Well, guess what? They've won 6 national championships at Alabama. He has 7 total. I would say that that's worked. Bill Belichick has won 6 Super Bowls as a head coach. I would say that it's worked. And so I think Vrabel saying that, he knew he'd be asked about injuries.
Oh,
it was
100%.
Calculated. And so while the point may not be getting across to players on the practice field or in the meeting room, he's making it a point to say, basically, if you read between the lines, either you're going to do what we ask you to do and you're going to play by our rules or you're not going to be here. And he does it when he's asked about specific players, and you can tell. You can tell very, very quickly who he likes and who he doesn't like. I knew from the get-go, he didn't like Julio Jones. He didn't want Julio Jones. I've been able to tell pretty quickly, Bud Dupree's not one of his dudes because there are things that he does.
I mean, he made
you
the comment.
You can read between the lines.
Yeah, he made the comment after the game. It was a home game this year. I think it was Indianapolis, but made the comment on, well, I mean, if you're getting paid that much, we expect you to play that well.
Right.
So clearly, you know, you can read between the lines there. Julio Jones, he was another one. Pretty clear from the start that they didn't vibe. He didn't have the mentality of, I want to do what's best for the team. I don't want to be a blocking receiver. Things like that. Another text on the text line, Justin from Greenbrier. He said, not to brag, but my kid is an athlete, plays various sports. He does extra stuff and workouts outside the team all the time. It comes down to integrity. Who are we when we are not around others?
Very
and that last
text.
Point, who are we when we're not around others? Who are we when, you know, the team's not around, there's no cameras around, people don't know that you're in practice. Who are you outside of the building? Kevin Byard, for example, played at MTSU, gets drafted, takes full advantage of his opportunity, and we've seen it, and that is why his longevity in this career, he's been able to sustain it. And Vrabel pointed it out. And he also compared him to 2 other guys who, you know, read between the lines, have been, you know, offenders of those soft tissue injuries.
And I love that he used that phrase, repeat offenders.
David Long Jr. and Christian Fulton.
Yeah.
Two guys who struggled this year.
And it's tough love. And the other thing, too, is, and this is a little bit of a generational thing, he's the head coach. He's not your best friend. He's not supposed to be your best friend. He's supposed to be a bit of a hard ass on you.
Of course.
That's what a head coach, a good head coach, does. I mean,
it's tough love.
Brady finally left because he had done it for 20 years. He couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it was just like, look, I appreciate it. I am the, and he said it in the Man in the Arena documentary. I will always be appreciative of Coach Belichick because Coach Belichick's coaching is why I am the player and the man that I am today. And I 100% believe that. And I think Vrabel probably feels the same way, but you know, they're not buddies.
No,
and they don't have to be, but that tough love is a part of the game. And, you know, I'm having to learn that in a leadership role of, like, sometimes you got to be tough. You got to have the tough conversations because that's how you're going to get the best out of people. If he didn't do that and if he wasn't putting forth that effort towards those particular players, it means that he just doesn't care about them and that he doesn't see anything in them. The fact that he's being tough on them and calling them out like that means he does care.
Well, in challenging somebody, if you just tell them that they're great at everything and you're so amazing at everything and just care what they think about you, oh, we love you, coach. That's not how you get the best out of somebody in any facet of life. If they're not challenged to be better. On the text line, I love Vrabel. I love what Vrabel said. He's creating a culture of toughness, Todd, mm-hmm. from Florida. I mean, he wants these. He knows they're playing football at the end of the day, and he knows that if he doesn't push these guys to be better and push through injuries like that, Christian Fulton, David Long Jr., we've seen that these guys can be the tip top of their position in the NFL, but if they keep, you know, having these soft tissue injuries, it's not going to happen. And both of those guys are looking to get second contracts right now with the Titans.
Yeah. And to the rest of Justin's point, who are we when we're not around others? The quiet time, like Trent Dilfer said. I mean, I'll use it for this. You hear us for 2 hours, or, you know, the other show's three, or Jared four. That's all you hear. You don't see what happens outside of that. Because let me tell you, a 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour show doesn't just magically happen. There's a lot that goes into it.
Really, Chase?
Yeah, exactly. You don't just snap your finger. Look, I've worked with people that thought that's what it was, but that's not it. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean the work isn't being put in. I mean, you know, are we sitting in a room, you know, for 4 hours before or after the show, planning the show? No, we're going to practices. We're watching games. We're reading articles. We're talking to people. That's all prep. That's all work in the quiet time that goes towards the show. Just like, you know, doing workouts or looking at the playbook and things like that outside of the meeting. You know, it's like homework. It's, you know, you're in class, but then you're doing stuff outside of class to get better. That's what Vrabel's trying to get.
Really quick before we leave, I need to leave us with a quote. Chuck Swirsky, play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls, he said, if you don't do your homework, somebody will. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel mentioned that something along those lines. Hey, if you're not going to put the work in, we've got another one of you coming right up the ranks.
Yeah, because I'll use myself as a prime example. You know, I wasn't the best at this. I had to work a lot harder. You know, there are some people that it just they just have that gift. And I had to work harder than anyone else. But guess what? Now I'm here. And it paid off. And
a lot of people are in that situation.
A lot of people are. I mean, I'm just talking for myself. But, I mean, you know, you're working. Nick's working. I give Nick crap, but he's one of the hardest working people here. And so it's all about what you put into it to get what you want out of it. You know, I used to tell – or when I got an internship here is how I started. I sat right in this room. And Jeremy, my boss at the time, said, you can get anything you want out of this. You can show up and be on time and get the class credit and move on, or you can make it something. And I listened to that because that was 11 years ago and I'm still here. So,
well, you make your own opportunities.
Bingo. Real quick, Kevin wants to weigh in on the injuries. Kevin, welcome in.
Hey, you guys might not even know this, but I'm just wondering what, like, the protocol on injuries are. So, like, is it a doctor that says they can't play? Is it a coach? Is it the player? Like, something is, I mean, obviously, if it's a tear, you can see that on an X-ray, but I'm talking, like, stuff that you can't, bumps, bruises, illnesses. That I don't know if you guys can weigh in on that or not, but I was just curious on what the process is on when a player is, you know, not eligible to play.
Thanks,
Kevin. Yeah, I appreciate it, Kevin. I don't know exactly. I mean, I think it's all up to the training staff to kind of evaluate. But I do think the definition of are you hurt or are you injured is different now than it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and Mike Vrabel kind of touched on it. Like, these soft tissue injuries, are they something that you can work through? Are you able to get to 90% speed? Are you able to, you know, perform in practice like you can in a game? Can you push through that? I think a lot of it just is – what can you do, and are you able to push through some of those soft tissue injuries if you can't see them?
Wes and Hermitage, real quick, this is a great text. The easiest way to put it is Jared works 5 4-hour days. If anyone thinks that Jared is only working 20 hours a week, they're very, very wrong, and I can attest to that. They are extremely wrong because that is – he's probably the hardest working guy, you know, here. I mean, he lives and breathes it, so that is absolutely true. Great show today. Good participation. We want to keep this going for sure. It's a fast 2 hours, but really enjoyed it. Chase and Michelle. Coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. I know they'll have a lot to discuss with the Titans, with the Preds tonight as well, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.